Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... You know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Happy Independence Day, America. I know it's the 5th, but as far as I'm concerned, this is our 4th of July celebration. And it's my 13th consecutive live program to celebrate independence in America. And it's a holiday. I think arguably the most, I think it could be argued, I'm going to ask Rich Gaetan and our guest in just a second, that the 4th of July in America could be the most important holiday in the history of mankind. And Rich Gaetan is our guest, folks. He's the publisher of Mullings.com, a cyber column that he publishes thrice weekly. He is a political operative of the Republican persuasion and a great American. Rich Gaetan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, my friend. Nice to be with you.
It's good to have you back. So what do you think about my idea? Could it be argued that Independence Day in America is the most important holiday in the history of humans?
Yeah, let me tell you a quick story. When I was in Baghdad back in 2003 and 4, it was right after Thanksgiving in November of 2003, and we had a really, really smart guy in our unit, a British colonel, named Ian Tunnicliffe, and I was sitting at my desk.
What a great English name.
Yeah, it is. It's perfect, with an E on the end of Tunnicliffe. But I looked up and I said, hey, Colonel, is there any holiday in the UK or in England that you know, you give thanks? I mean, that's similar to Thanksgiving? And without even looking up, he said, yes, July 4th.
That's funny. Well, but you know, you think about it. If you think about it, folks, July 4th is the day America declared independence. What became America? It wasn't even America then.
America? It didn't become the constitutional America we know now until 1789.
Thirteen years later.
Yeah, I mean, we had one failed attempt with the Articles of Confederation. And they had to come back and do it again.
Right. But this is the day where they said, okay, we are staking our life and liberty on this day. We're going to sign this document. We're going to make it available to whoever. And it'll be clear if you read the document, Rich, there are all kinds of grievances against the king that Jefferson and the other, his editors, put in there. So there's no question that they were sticking their finger in the eye of the king. I mean, this is fighting words.
Yeah, but the most important words, I think, I've always felt this, are the last words in the document, which are, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Can you imagine trying to get something like that through the 111th Congress?
And yet, exactly. but you know, the thing is, and I want to come back to that. But the thing about this though is that since World War II, there've been over 100 new democracies around the world. There were something like 20 before World War II. And now they're like, or at least recently, there has been as many as 120. And all of that, in my opinion, can be traced back to July 4th, 1776.
Oh, that's right. I mean, nobody had done what we did before we did it. I mean, it was just not done. I mean, empires were empires forever. And they were led by sovereigns, yeah, by kings, and the people were their subjects. And, you know, it is really astonishing when you look at what these guys in a hot room in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm, wearing woolen
wear those heavy wigs
and it didn't smell good, they didn't smell good. They were cranky. They were pretty cranky with each other. They talk about type A personalities. Every one of them was a type
A. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't. There were no passive guys in that room.
Mm-mm. And yet they got together and they established something. They established a rule, a new concept for the rule of law as opposed to the rule of an individual
right.
who got to his or her position by virtue of genetics.
But they all had different ideas about how to get there.
Oh yeah.
And there were a couple of rules of thought. There were the Federalists and there were the Republicans. They all had their own ideas. And when we come back, I want to pick up on what Rich said a minute ago about the acrimony that we have today. Could we pass something like that? Well, there was acrimony back then. And we're going to talk about that and how things haven't changed all that much. But when we come back, first, some special music. Get ready. I'm Jim Blassingame. Rich Galen is our guest. We'll be right back. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. Ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem. Welcome back, 16 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. It's the only time during the year that I say that, 16 Till, because it's usually 17 Till, because that song is a minute and a half long. It's our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. Still gives me chills when I hear that flourish. I still love to hear that song. Rich Galen is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm your host. We're talking about Independence Day here in America. Rich, I can't hear that song without getting moved, without being moved, and the flourish especially still gives me a tingle after all these years.
You know, I'm in the press box for the Washington Nationals games. And
yeah.
Really interesting.
He always has to rub that in. He has these special seats, folks.
I do, but it's really very moving that when the announcer says, please stand and remove your caps.
Yeah.
The entire press box stops what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody stands and it waits until the national anthem's over, and then they go back to being crusty old
recruits. And if they've had military experience, they're at attention with their heels together.
You know, that's exactly right. But I was somewhere. And the rules have changed somewhat that now, even if you have military experience, even if you're in civilian clothing, you are permitted to hand salute as opposed to putting your hand.
Really?
On. Yeah.
If you're still in the military.
No. If you have had.
Oh, really?
Had military.
I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, a whole real no kidding.
I'm glad to know that. That's yet another way to embarrass my children. Yeah, this is great. I love this information. Hey, Rich, I every time I play that song, though, I imagine some old guy just tuning in thinking, oh, are they going off the air?
or going on the air.
Yeah, remember that? The test pattern, the Indian with the test pattern.
Yeah, my early radio days, I was the weekend morning guy, and I'd race up to the studio with about 8 seconds before I was supposed to turn the transmitters on, and the first thing I did was hit the Star Spangled Banner and then turn the transmitters on.
I gave you a minute and a half to get some coffee, didn't I?
Exactly.
Hey, Rich, I want to come back to what you were saying about as you talked about the last words. Read those. You got those very last words that were in the Declaration of Independence. You talked about that a minute ago. I want to refer back to that a second.
Okay.
You got that handy?
I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah, it was the very last. Read that last couple of lines.
Yeah.
They were joined together. They were in common cause.
Right.
That kind of thing.
And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
That reminds me of the moment within 30 days after 9-1-1.
Yep.
You remember that?
Yep.
It reminds me of that. That was a time not unlike this time that you just read about. And you were saying, you know, can you imagine getting that through the 111th Congress today? No, I can't. But, you know, Rich, in those days, those words, they took 2 days to debate those words.
I'm sure that's right. I mean, it was a knockdown, drag-out fight all the way through the process, as I understand it. But it was such a departure from what anybody had ever conceived of before in terms of governance.
Yeah.
That they were just getting their arms around the concept.
Well, see, they were still thinking of their states. They were still having a hard time imagining what a union would be.
Right.
Even the really sharp ones, the ones with all the vision, the Jeffersons, the Adams, you know, people like Jeffersons, Adams, and others, they still were having a hard time getting their hand around this idea of a union, because Jefferson didn't want to write the Declaration of Independence. He didn't want to be there when it was debated. He wanted to be back in Virginia writing the Constitution.
Yeah, and that's why the Articles of Confederation were, if you've ever read it or read about those times, it was so tortured because the reaction to breaking away from King George was so strong and so anti-central government,
yeah,
that the individual states had enormous power, and the central government was really just a figurehead that had almost no reason for
right.
functioning.
And that was
and
one
it
of the,
didn't work.
And that was one of the big debates among them. Was where would the power lie? Would it be with the states, as Jefferson wanted, or would it be more at the federal government, as Hamilton and to some degree Adams wanted?
Yeah, and when they finally got around to having the Constitutional Convention, they ended the final of the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights,
right.
is the infamous to some people Bill 10th Amendment, which says in essence, I don't have it in front of me, that any power is not specifically granted to the federal government is reserved to the states and to the people.
Right.
Because
right.
they wanted to make sure that individual states maintained some semblance of authority.
Right.
Which has been more or less ignored over the last...
Hold on to that thought, Rich. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Rich's website is mullings.com. Mine is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Today, it's just all about independence. It's all about the legacy of this day, how it has endured. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Rich to talk about what he thinks the founders would think about modern political leadership. How different would it be to them? Tintail, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. Happy Independence Day, America. Americans, wherever you are, if you're listening on the internet around the world, Happy Independence Day to you. I know it's July 5th, but we're celebrating today because this is the day most people are celebrating. The official day was yesterday. Today is the day we're taking off, except for me, except if you're on part of the Small Business Advocate Show. Then you got to work, and we're lucky to have some great guests as we've had today, including our current guest right now, Rich Galen. Mullings.com is his website. I hope you check it out. Go there and subscribe to his thrice-weekly cyber column. Rich, thank you for being here. Happy Independence Day to you and your family. I know you agree with me when I say that if without this day, entrepreneurship wouldn't be what we know today. Small business owners in America wouldn't be what we are today. And we stand on the shoulders of the founders, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we talk about it in terms of political freedom, but it was certainly economic freedom
yep.
that was central
Absolutely.
To what they were trying to get done.
You know, Rich, you and I talk, when you join me at other times, we talk about current politics, and we see some of the acrimony and some of the stuff that's going on in Washington, D.C. among the parties these days, and it's pretty ugly, and we think, boy, you know, I wish things were like they were back, you know, way back when we had statesmen. But when we had statesmen, we actually had duels as well.
Yeah,
I mean, we haven't had any of our Congress kill each other lately. And that, of course, we know that happened. And I mean, those guys, if you read some of the letters between the intrigue behind the acrimony that evolved over time between Adams and Jefferson, it was pretty rough.
Oh yeah, and they were always jockeying not only for personal position, but for position for their particular colony or later
right.
their particular state.
And they had their egos too, didn't they?
Oh gosh, yes, they they were I'm not sure if they were the most brilliant men of their time, but they were certainly the most brilliant men who were in the public eye at the time, by far. These were enormous thinkers. And, of course, you know, one of the problems with people with enormous intellects is they have enormous egos to go with them because they're shocked when somebody else thinks that they're the smartest guy in the room.
Do you think if they came to, if they were able to watch what's going on right now, do you think they would say, well, these guys aren't they're not worthy of being called statesmen, or do you think they'd say amateurs? in terms of their acrimony with each other, I wonder if they'd call them, if they'd be disappointed, or if they think they were amateurs.
No, I think what they would wish is they had television so they could run negative ads. I think that would have been a lot more efficient.
That's
but I think overall they would understand. I mean, I think Jefferson, any one of the signers in the early, the signers of the Declaration or the architects of the Constitution could walk into the Congress of the United States today, and it might take them a little bit of time to kind of get caught up on what people were talking about, but they would certainly understand the arguments in the well of the House in the Senate, because those are the kinds of things that we pay these folks to argue about.
Of course, the first thing they have to do would be to sit down for a minute and just look at the sheer numbers.
Yeah, that would shock them. Well, of course, it would shock them to see that there are 300 and whatever we're going to turn out to be 315 million people in the United States,
right.
A, and B, that what we call the United States stretches all the way from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific.
Right, right.
That was not something they contemplated.
They could have. But do you think that they would be disappointed in the way, in terms of statesmanship, clearly these men were statesmen among them. Do we have statesmen on that level today?
You know, it's fun to say that we don't have any, but I don't think that's right. I mean, I'm not the hugest fan of Hillary Clinton, but I think she's been doing an extraordinarily good job as Secretary
of State. I'm glad to hear you say that.
And you know who else I'm very pleasantly surprised about is Joe Biden, who I thought as VP would just sort of, we could have fun with him because
right.
he would always be saying something stupid. But the fact is that he has been a very effective ambassador
right.
Overseas, and he's in Iraq today as we're speaking.
Right.
I think people, Americans, tend to rise to the occasion and rise to their position. Not everybody, and not all the time. But I think, and I'm not sure every member of the Continental Congress was, you know, the top
right.
person there either.
Right.
But I think the founders would be relatively pleased, and not only that, but I think they would be absolutely shocked to find out that America is the only superpower. That A, there is a superpower, and B, it's America.
And from a liberty standpoint, still the shining beacon on the hill. Hey,
that
Rich.
That part might not surprise them, but I think they'd be very pleased with it.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Rich, for being here. Happy Independence Day.
And to you.
Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, a great American, one of the great members of our Brain Trust. We really value his perspective. On a regular basis, we're the beneficiaries of that. And don't forget, Mullings.com is his website. I got to go for this hour. Americans, wherever you are, in the United States, listening on the radio, around the world on the Internet, Happy Independence Day. God bless you. God bless small business owners. And God bless America. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.